जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्टा विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगुड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदिनी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale, Srimadeva Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidinamini, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Prajarini, Narvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashyatya Deshadarini. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धरामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायनपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपम् प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवां पाराशर्यवजस्सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद् भारत पंकज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैः स्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदैः क्रम उपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदुःसुरा सुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द सर्वद पाणिपादं दल सर्वदोक्षिशिरोमुखं सर्वदश्रुतिमल्लोके सर्वमावृत्य तिष्ठति सर्वेन्द्रियगुणाभासं सर्वेन्द्रियविवर्जितं असक्तं सर्वप्रच्चैव निर्गुणं गुणभोक्त्रच बहिरन्धश्च भूतानाम् अचरं चरमेव च सूक्ष्मत्वात् तदभिज्ञेयं दूरस्थं चान्दिके च तल् यस्टर्डे व्हेन वी वर टॉकिंग अबाउट दी हाउ कृष्ण हैज इंस्ट्रक्टेड Arjuna, Uddhava and the Gopis in three different ways. Arjuna, because he is qualified for Karma Yoga, therefore Arjuna was directed and given instructions to engage in karma. Uddhava, on the other hand, because he was a ripened fruit, already has gone through the life, and he was ready for knowledge. He was ready for spiritual knowledge. So therefore, you can see Krishna's instructions to Uddhava in Ekadasa Skandam is completely knowledge-based. Unlike in Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Arjuna, like an ordinary person, he had problems to overcome karma, first of all. Karma is a very complex subject in Shastram. Basically, karma is divided into five different stages. If you go deeper into Bhagavad Gita, you will find that. First of all, Nishiddha Karma. Nishiddha Karma means what's not allowed to do. It begins with that. Nishiddha Karma. Most of the people when in this world are busy with Nishiddha Karma. And secondly, after that comes the Kamya Karma. That means fruitive activity. So, generally it is understood that majority of the people will fall into these two categories. Nishiddha Karma and Kamya Karma. After that, when you make one more step further progress, you come to what is known as Vihita Karma, prescribed duties. Then when you have engaged in the prescribed duties for a long period of time, Vihita Karma, if you have performed, you become qualified for Karma Yoga. That's when you come into Karma Yoga. And if you have executed Karma Yoga properly for sufficient time, then you come to the next stage, what is known as Akarma. And if you have perfected in the Akarma, that is when you come to the stage called Naishkarmya Siddhi. So if you look at Karma, you can see that starting from Nishiddha Karma to Kamya Karma to Vihita Karma to Karma Yoga, and finally to Naishkarmya Siddhi. So people are in all these different stages. Everyone in this world are at different stages in this. So to come to this Naishkarmya Siddhi, that is the perfection of the, that's a self-realized state. And that's what Krishna is talking about in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We saw there, Naishkarmya Siddhim Paramam Sanyasanadi Gacchadi. You will see there. So Naishkarmya Siddhi, and also in the 5th chapter, in the 1st canto of the Bhagavatam, Naishkarmam avi achyuta bhava varjitam na shobhade jnanam alam niranjanam kutah puna shashvata bhadram ishwari na karpitam karma yadapi anuttamam. Those two, and again in the 12th chapter, again the same verse comes. So karmam is a big topic. It's not a simple thing that karma yogam is not so easy, but when you understand the intricacies of karmam, why Shastram sees karmam as our main obstacle? Because the reason why we are all in this world today is because of karmam only. Karmam in previous life, what we have done has created this body and we have got here in this situation now. And even after coming here, because we didn't have the right understanding in the right time in life, we are trying to study Bhagavad Gita now at this fag end of life. So now there is nothing much you can do about it. Most of the life was Nishiddha Karma and Kamya Karma. So that Nishiddha Karma and Kamya Karma, to come out of that itself takes time. From Nishiddha Karma and Kamya Karma, from that to come out itself takes time. And what to talk about Karma Yogam and Akarmam and Naishkarma Siddhi and all that. That's going to be quite a long time. And so Nishiddha Karmam is what we call it as Vikarmam. Another word for that is Vikarmam. So whatever it is, here, what we are now talking about in Bhagavad Gita, these verses are related to the person who has come through the Karma Yogam and cleared that,
and come to the stage of what we call as akarmam stage. It is at that stage this knowledge will be effective to that person. So Krishna said yesterday, we were talking about yesterday, that these verses, reading them, and as you understand the depth of these verses, you can see the difficulty. Difficulty is this, that understanding is one thing, translating into life is the most difficult part. Sarvada pani padam dal sarvadoksha shiromukam. When you see a person, you have to see that Krishna is looking at you through those eyes. Krishna is, every living entity in this world is Krishna's body. It is Krishna is present inside in those different bodies, and they are looking at us and he is hearing us. To come to that level of consciousness, that's what this is talking about. Sarvada panibadam tal, sarvado akshi shiromukam. All faces are Krishna's face. All ears are Krishna's ears. All eyes are Krishna's eyes. Because Andaryami inside is looking through that towards us. Sarvada shudimal loge, sarvam avrutya drishtadi. So that's Brahmam defined earlier in that 13th verse. And to explain Brahmam again, the next word, sarvendriya gunabhasam, sarvendriya vivarjitam, asaktam sarvabrachaiva, nirgunam gunabhoktraja. So, antakaranam, our subtle body, and all the external ones like senses, all of them, because there are three modes of nature is present in them, Brahmam is manifesting through them, but we are not able to see the Brahmam's presence behind it. So, after saying that, he said that Bahirandasya Bhudanam Ajaram Charamevacha Sushmatvata Davitnyayam Durastam Chandike Chatat. To understand these verses, understand means to get some feeling for these verses, it is easier to explain it through some examples of how different people have understood these verses. It's a difficult verse. You can say, recite the verses, and Krishna is saying, Bahirandascha Bhudanam Ajaram Charamevacha Sushmatvatad Avijnayam Durastam Chandike Chatat. So, the way we perceive people is through Nama Rupam only. That's all we know. Namam Rupam. From that level, you have to rise to this level. From Nama Rupam stage, you have to come up to this stage. Right? So, Sagunam in the form, Namarupam, or Saguna form of Saguna Brahmam, right? How that will, Saguna Brahmam, we are seeing in a form, deity form, or the different incarnations, they are all Sagunam, right? How do you see that as soul, consciousness? That is the question, right? So, some Mahatma say that sometimes they had this experience in life when they see certain jivas and their cheshta, the way they act in this world, they are able to sense the presence of Andaryami in them. One Mahatma says this, that he was wandering around in the Giri Pradakshinam, was doing in Govardhanam. At that time, on his way, he was thinking about this. How do I realize the presence of Atma as consciousness rather than as a form? Normally, it is easier to relate with a form for us, isn't it? Saguna Brahmam is easier. because all the attributes are there, a form is there. So generally people can relate with that much easier. But when it comes to consciousness level, it's one step more difficult, because mind cannot do anything about it. It's Antaryami inside have to reveal himself to you, that experience of the Antaryami inside. So, one Mahatma says this, that while he was doing the parikramam of Vrindavanam, Govardhana parikramam, at that time there were so many villages on the way and so many poor people living in those villages. He says there's one child came out from there, and when he noticed the child, he could see the child was in his normal state, playful, and naturally he was sucking his fingers in the mouth, as just as children do, right? He says, when I saw the child, he said, I remembered this verse, Sarvadokshu Shiromukham. He said, moment I saw him, that child's bhavam, the bhavam in him, that I started realizing through those eyes, Krishna is looking at me, Vasudeva is looking at me. You saw in the Bhagavatam how they have mentioned those four verses in the beginning, in the first canto, about Vasudeva, Vasudeva Paryamaka, Vasudeva Paryaveda, to explain to us what Vasudeva is. And similarly, Jadabharata also said the same thing, is it not? Yad Vasudeva Kavayo Vidandi, Anam Vishuddham Paramartham Egam, those verses in the Bharata Rahugana Samvadam. So, personalities like Bharata and Shuka Brahmarshi, they can relate with that easily. Of what does that mean, consciousness in a person, how to detect that. We cannot detect that. We cannot detect presence of consciousness in someone. We haven't risen to that level yet. We can detect name and form. So like a form comes, it is possible to accept the form. But to relate with that in the form of consciousness is difficult. That requires a more purity inside and more freedom from the grip of the body, from freedom from the body, right? So, this Mahatma says there, that when he looked at that child, he realized that it is Krishna who is looking through the child, through the child's eye, right? And if you don't get that bhavam inside, if you don't get that bhavam inside, even if Krishna comes in the form in front of us, we won't be able to accept that. That means he comes as conch shell, disc, club and lotus flower with the four-handed form or in the two-handed form, in either way. If Krishna comes in front of us, we won't be able to accept him as the absolute truth. You'll only see him in the name and form till this realization comes that that form what is present in front of us is the Antaryami inside. So you can see the importance of that. You see, seeing a form through eyes is not a big thing. We are seeing so many forms in this world. When Krishna was present in this world, many people have seen him. Have they not? A lot of people have seen Krishna. How come they did not feel a relationship with him as the absolute truth? Only very few people had that connection with Krishna, as Krishna is the Antaryami inside. So you can understand from that, that even if God comes in front of us now, in our present state, we will take it simply as a form, that's all. Nothing more than that. We won't be able to think beyond than that, because our mind will come inside and he will say, he is one like us, not much different. That thought will come. That is the difficulty. There is a story like this. Story means this incident actually happened. One great personality, he has written about it in his own biography like thing, what he wrote. Yeah. What he was saying, you know, in the villages, people dress up for festival days, like Ganesh, people dress up like Ganesh, Kartikeya, Lord Shiva, Sri Parvati, all these different forms people dress up for festivals. For festivals they dress up. So this Mahatma, this Swamiji, he was giving a discourse in a temple, and because it was a festival day, there were many other people who had come for this festival to participate and to listen to his lecture, whatever he was saying. So at that time, some people came dressed like Ganesh, some people came like Sri Parvati's dress, some people came like Subramanya's dress, and these different dresses, right? And then he also noticed that someone has come dressed like Lord Shiva as well. Came like Lord Shiva, right? So when he was speaking, he noticed this Lord Shiva in that form. And when he saw that, he was very impressed by the way he looked. Unlike the others who have dressed up, the one who has dressed up like Lord Shiva, he looked very impressive to him. So he was very appreciative of that, the way he was dressed and the way he acted. So after the program was over, they all came to the Swamiji to receive some prasadam from him. So he gave some akshadam, akshadam means the rice and some flowers, everything together, to this person who was dressed up like Lord Shiva. And he walks away from there. After that person left, this Swamiji was feeling a little disturbed inside, in his mind, right? And he wanted to see him again, this person who had dressed like Lord Shiva. He wanted to see him again. And maybe 10 or 15 minutes have gone since then. And he inquired about him, where he is, because he was very impressed by that dress. They couldn't find him. They couldn't find him. Right? On that night, in his dreams, this form appeared again and gave this direction to him that just like you, he said, that in the dream he is seeing this, that many people wanted to see me in the sagunam form, in the name and form, in the sagunam form, right? And because they have all done some sadhana in their life, but none of them have developed the maturity in spiritual life to see me in the Ishwara Bhava. They have not come to that level yet. They just wanted to see me in a form. So I fulfilled that for them. This was the revelation to him in the dream. But nobody has developed sufficient spiritual maturity to see me in the Ishwara Bhavam, and therefore I had fulfilled their desire, and that's all. But that is not Ishwara Darshanam. Just seeing a form alone is not enough. What it is trying to say is that suppose any devata, it takes a form and come in front of us, right? If we are not matured enough spiritually, it means that we haven't reached that state. In other words, that bhavam has not come inside us, right? And we will not be able to relate with that form properly. And this is why when Krishna was here, most of the people did not see him as the Supreme Lord or Absolute Truth. They just, even Yadava saw him, thought of him as one among the many others. That's how they saw him. Do you see the point? That it's not so simple that people say, have you seen God? They ask. The question is, back to ask is, the question to say, Have we got the qualifications to be in that state to recognize him if he comes? That's the problem. So spiritual realization is to be understood in this way, that till we grow spiritually to a certain level, knowledge-wise and realization-wise, you won't be able to relate with a form, even if it comes in a form in front of us. So, and if it happens, if you come to that level, even if Hiranyakashipu comes in front of you, you will be able to see Krishna in the Hiranyakashipu. That is how it is. Yeah. Then, or even if Ravana comes, you will see presence in Ravana, Krishna's presence in Ravana. Right? So even Hiranyakashipu, we become Bhagavad Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam. Or Ravana can become Bhagavad Swarupam. But we have got a negativity inside us. Right? And as long as that negativity is inside us, right, when that completely goes away, only then we will come to this level, what Krishna is talking about. Sarvada pani badam dal, sarvadokshi shiromugam, sarvada shudhiman loge, sarvam avurtya tishtadi. So it is the problem is not in the others, problem is within ourselves. That's the first thing to recognize. We have to rise to the level of spiritual realization, able to see this Krishna's presence in everyone. It is inside us that progress has to happen, not in others. No point in me looking at everyone and saying that, how do I find Krishna in him? Asking that question is not the real answer. The real answer is that if we have lifted ourselves to a higher spiritual state, then you will see only Krishna in others. It's question of elevating individuals within themselves, right? So, and if I have the capacity to see with that bhavamandalam it is, right? If I see it like that, when I see in the person, I will see there the presence of Antaryami in there. You remember yesterday we talked about this. Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam. Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam has to happen first before you see tattva jnanartha darshanam in the world. Tattva jnanartha darshanam comes later. If adhyalpa jnana nityatvam has not happened, you won't see Krishna's presence in everyone. Those words are very potent. Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam. Edal jnanam idi proktam ajnanam tadananyatha, he says. Isn't it? So those two words is again coming here in these verses also. So when we say this sarvada pani badam dal, sarvadokshi shiromukham, sarvada shudhiman loge, sarvam avurtya tishtadi, this is tattva jnanartha darshanam it is. So in order this tattva jnanartha darshanam to happen, adhyalpa jnana nityatvam has to happen first. Right? If there is another example, there are many examples for this throughout the history, and it is easier to understand this through these different individuals who have spoken about it at different times in their spiritual practices. Right? You must have heard about this Peace Pilgrim, that lady who walked in America for 25,000 miles or something. She has walked, right? And if you look at her diary, she talks about this one incident, what happened, right? So, Friends of Peace Pilgrim, they have published a book about that, right? Anyone can get that book. Mm-hmm. And she was very poor, and she walked and walked and walked everywhere. Obviously, she doesn't have any possessions, right? And she used to walk, and she had very little clothes, and she will ask for the food from different people, and that's how she survived, right? And so, only the very essential things she carried with her, and some inspiration from inside to walk all over, right? Not particular about any place or anything, she continued walking. And wherever she gets in the evening, she'll find somewhere to sleep. She was so free in that way, able to do that, right? Always moving. And sometimes, one day she got into a place and there was no place to sleep. And also, it was quite cold. That evening was very, very cold, right? So she saw someone parked a car, and he was sitting there inside with the driver, in the driver's seat, right? So she asked him, "Can I sleep in this car tonight? Just one night. Can I sleep in this car?" So driver said, "Yes, you can sleep in the car." He understood that she is very poor and she had no place to go. So she just wanted a shelter somewhere to sleep inside the car, right? And driver was around, say, 30, 35 years old. She told her to go get inside the car and sleep, right? And she slept very comfortably inside. And in the morning, she came out. And when she came out, this driver, he has left the car there. And he came back and he offered his respects to her, offered obeisances to her, and says to her, "You are not an ordinary woman," he says to her, right? "You are someone who has come from somewhere else. I don't know where you came from." But she said, "I don't have anything special. I'm just an ordinary person," she says to him. He says to her, "What happened that night?" Yeah. She says, "When I allowed you to sleep in the car, I had some bad motive in my mind." He says to her, "I had a bad motive in my mind, right? And in the whole night I was thinking, but I could not come closer to the car. I couldn't come closer to the car, right?" So this lady mother, she says to him that that's nothing to do with me. Only thing is that when you allowed me to sleep in the car, I thought in my mind like this. She says to him that Krishna is inside you, in your heart, and he is speaking to me and giving me permission to sleep. I took it like that. And with that bhavam, I went inside the car as though I am sleeping in my mother's lap or my father's lap. And with that way, with such a freedom, I went to sleep. She says like this to him. It has nothing to do with me. When you gave me permission, I immediately thought like this, that Krishna is inside your heart. He wants me to, he has allowed me to get inside and sleep like that, right? So, and it is your own Antaryami who has protected you from engaging in a sinful thing. His motive was very sinful. He wanted to associate with her, and that desires had come in him. But because she has seen in him Antaryami's presence in him, and recognized that and went to sleep, and therefore Antaryami in him didn't allow him to come to her that night. Yeah. So that is this Antaryami, seeing Antaryami in everyone, like the way she has seen, that is the very crux of this verse. Yeah. That's the very crux of this verse, right? Bahirandascha bhudanam acharam charamevacha sushmatvadad avijnyayam durastam chandige chatat. These verses, as I said, all these verses has the all relating to Antaryami. This is all relating to Antaryami. Sarvada Panimanandal, Sarvadoksha Shiromukam, Sarvada Shrimalloke, Sarva Mahurtya Tishtati, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarchitam, Asaktam Sarvabrachaiva, Nurgunam Gunabhoktracha, Bhirandascha Bhudanam, Ajaram Charamevacha, Sushmatvada Avitnyayam, Durastam Chandike Chatat. If you study these verses, this is the message from that. So, she has reached that state. That was her success. She did not think of anything else. Antaryami has in him has allowed me to sleep here. I'm going to sleep like that. And because Antaryami, he has seen Antaryami in him, therefore Antaryami did not allow him to disturb her at night. And so in this way, to come to that level, she was able to do that. But most of the people can't do that because our we are used to this Namarupam. Namarupam level, you can't do that. And you have to come to the Antaryami level. So, because this Adhyalpa Jnanam was there in her, that she has lifted herself to that level, that she was not affected by that. Namarupam did not disturb her. So, that is the main message in that verse. And so this is an important verse in the Bhagavatam, sorry, in the Bhagavad Gita. And having said that, how to recognize the Antaryami in others, that's the situation, right? You remember yesterday we were talking about the same Kapila Maharshi said in the third canto. Devahuti Devi Upadesham, Kapila Upadesham. Athamam Sarveshu Bhudeshu Udalpanam Kradalayam Arkhaya Dhanamananam Maitreya Abhinena Chatrusha. He said that, isn't it? It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad. Kapila Maharshi is saying there that till you get this recognition, all your other worship and all are useless, he says. They are all in the beginning stages. But this realization stages, this one. Athamam Sarveshu Bhudeshu, in all living entities, Bhudalpanam Kridalayam, that is Krishna's residence. All living entities are Krishna's residence. Bhudalpanam Kridalayam. Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam means, according to their desire, fulfilling those desires. What they want, providing them, clothes, food, shelter, whatever one can offer to them. Maitreya Abhinena Chakshusha. Noticing that there is no difference between one living entity and the another, because in both of them, Antaryami is Krishna. Krishna is the Antaryami. So, these are all the processes, what is related to these verses, right? So, and that is bhakti. After saying that, Krishna said this. So, first thing is that verse, Sarvada Panivadandal Sarvadokshi Shiromagam. That is the first level in the Antaryami realization. Sarvada Panibadandal, Sarvadokshi Shiromugam, Sarvada Shriman Loge, Sarvam Avritya Tishtati. And then after that he says that Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam, Asattam Sarvabhrachaiva, Nurgunam Gunabhoktracha. So, what is Krishna saying? It is Nurgunam it is, in the sense, Gunabhoktracha. When it becomes pure prajna, shuddha prajna, then it is nirgunam, shuddha prajna, right? So, situated in different bodies in this world, all species of life, isn't it? Different types of bodies. In each one of them, present inside, experiencing the three modes of nature, satogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, all that is experienced by the same consciousness. This Antaryami inside, he is experiencing these three modes of nature, but not affected by that. Antaryami. Jiva is experiencing it and affected by that. Jiva. Jiva is Antaryami. Antaryami in the Jiva form is affected, right? So, that's what he is saying here. He is inside and outside everybody, and as he mentioned in the next verse, Bahirandasya Bhutanam Acharam Charameva Cha Sushmatvatad Avijnyayam Durastam Shanti Kechatat. Right? What does he mean? He is present in everyone inside as well as outside. Right? And he is, outside is Charam, inside is Acharam. Inside is Acharam, outside is Charam. Charam means moving. And Acharam in us, there is only one thing, our Swarupam, which is Acharam. Swarupam, Swarupam means our spiritual identity, Antaryami, is not affected by anything. That's what is called Acharam. It's not affected by anything. Modes of nature or any other emotions, thoughts, none of them affects that, right? He is present inside, remaining as a witness to everything, what is happening in the body, mind, senses, everywhere. And that consciousness or awareness that is present in everyone, untouched by all, is Acharam. Right? Everything else is Charam. Why it is Charam? For example, body is changing, means it's Charam. Mind is changing, Charam. Buddhi is changing, Charam. Senses are changing, Charam. So none of them, gross body is changing, Charam. World is changing, Charam. Acharam is only the Antaryami inside. So that bodham. So Acharam Charameva Cham. And this is why, because this Acharam Charam, that is the same thing Parikshit Maharaj asked to Sri Shukha Brahmarshi in the Bhagavatam, right? Viryani tasyagila logabhajam andarbahi purusha kala rupai prayachado mrityumradamrtam cha maya manushyasa vadasa vidvan. In the Dashmaskandam you will see in the first chapter itself. Parikshit asking that question to Shukha Brahmarshi, right? Parikshit said, tell me about Krishna, he said. So, which Krishna story you want to hear? That is when Parikshit said about Krishna like this. Charam and Acharam. Andarbahi Purusha Kalarupaihi. Right? Outside he is Kalam. Outside he is Kalam. Time. Right? And inside he is Purusha. And that one who is present outside as Kalam and inside as Antaryami, about that Krishna, tell me about him. That's how Parikshit raised that point. Viryani tasyakhila lokabhajam andarbahi purusha kalarupai prayachado mrityu amrutam cha maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. Outside is Kalam means mrityu. Kalam means mrityu, death, isn't it? That's what Kalam does to everybody. Kalam is nothing but mrityu, death. So outside it is mrityu. Inside what is it? Amrutam, immortality. Means there is no death for the vastu inside, Antaryami. Antaryami has no death. He is eternal. He is neither birth nor death. So, prayachado mrityu amrutam cha. Mrityu outside, amrutam inside. Immortality inside. So, kalam svabhavam is mrityu. And if you turn inwards, it's purusha, immortal. Right? Purusha svabhavam is amrut. And he says, one can decide which one do you want, right? So, one incident happened. Akhandananda Swamiji came to see Ramana Maharshi from Vrindavanam. He was traveling, and when he came to Tiruvannamalai, he went to see Ramana Maharshi. So, they had a meeting together, Akhandananda Swamiji and Ramana Maharshi, right? During that time, one devotee who was in the... everybody knew Akhandananda Swamiji was a highly learned person, right? So when he was in the ashram, one devotee asked Akhandananda Swamiji, normally in ashrams like that, only people who are very serious about spiritual life in them days will come. Ordinary people busy with the world outside, working hard, earning money, all other things will go. They won't come and disturb you in the ashram. Ashram people who will come, when Mahatmas come like that, they'll come to visit him, to have some association or satsangam with them. So when they came like that, so somebody asked him, Akhandananda Swamiji, to explain that verse little bit more according to his depth of realizations, right? So Akhandananda Swamiji explained that verse to that person, this particular verse. It is a famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Biryani is a syagile loka vajam. So outside it is mrityu, and inside it is inside it is Andaryami. He is deathless, immortal, right? So Ravana Maharshi was sitting there and listening to this explanations, what Akhandananda Swamiji was talking about it. And it was quite hot today as well, which is always hot there, but that particular day it was quite hot. So Ravana Maharshi in a casual way says to them that outside it is very hot, come inside, he said. Just to say that going inwards is better than going outwardly. In a way, to explain that verse, he was just joined Akhandananda Swamiji in talking about it, right? Yeah, so that's the same thing here. Bahirandascha bhudanam ajaram charamevacha sushmatvata davitnyayam durastam chandike chatat. It's a difficult verse and it's an important verse as well. This verse, right? So, inside it is acharam. Acharam charamevacha, it says. Acharam charamevacha. Inside is acharam, right? Outside it is always charam. Outside is charam, right? In other words, realized souls, in their realized state, they are able to stay in both the field, in both mandalam, anubhuti mandalam, right? In other words, what that means is that they are always conscious that Andaryami is their actual identity. And they are able to stay with that identity. But when they are doing vyavaharam in the world outside, they know it is charam. Continuously changing in vyavaharam. Right? So, that's what that's saying. Ajaram charamevajam. That internally they know they are ajaram. They are conscious of that. That actually they are acharam. But while doing vyavaharam, they know they are charam. Able to do that, both. To do both at the same time. To be conscious of their spiritual identity as acharam and to deal with the vyavaharam as charam. They were able to do that, right? Then he says, sushmatvata davitnyayam, right? That vastu is so subtle, right, and extremely subtle, and that is why in Kathopanishad it says like that, yeah, you remember that famous verse, anoraniyam mahato mahiyam. Atmasya jandor nihidam guhayam, to make us aware that how sushmam Andaryami is. It is so sushmam, extremely sushmam. That's what he's saying here. Sushmatvad tad avijnayam. It is so sushmam. Sushmam means extremely subtle. Extremely subtle, right? Like Kathopanishad says like this. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan atmasya jandor nihidam guhayam tamakradu pashyadi vita shokam dhadu prasadan mahimanam altmanam. Anoraniya means subtle than the most subtle. Extremely subtle, right? And that Alma is present in everyone in the hrit, in the heart, right? And who get that? One who has become completely free from desires, both in this world and even life after death, right? One who has become free from lamentation and hankering, And when comes mind and senses have come completely under control, he realizes that. Yeah. So that is what is called Dhatu Prasadam. Dhatu Prasadam means that when your senses, mind, intelligence, all of them become free from their flickering nature and becomes pure and inward looking, Pavitram and Andarmukham, both happens, that is called Dhatu Prasadam. That's the word in the Shastram. Dhatu Prasadam. Dhatu Prasadam means mind, senses and the buddhi. All three of them have become totally purified. Freedom from hankering, lamentation, desires and all other impurities, ragam, dvesham, they have all gone. When all these three are purified and inward looking at that time, only then you can get to know him, who this extremely subtle Antaryami inside. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan atmasya jandur nihidam guhayam takredo tamakradu pashyadi vita shogaha dhadu prasadan mahimanam atmana. That's from the Kathopanishad, that verse, right? Yeah, so he is hiding inside. Because it is so subtle. You look at the rishis, they were after that subtle thing inside. They were looking for that. They were not gross people. They were subtle. So subtle they were that they know that he is hiding behind everything. And next line. Look at the next line. Durastam chandike chatat, he says. He says that if you are trying to capture him with your mind, he is too far. You won't get him with the mind. You can't get him. You can't get him with your mind. That's why durastam. Durastam means that. If you try to get him with your mind, you won't get it. Durastam chandike chatat. But if the mind has got this dhatu prasadam, the mind is so pure, and if it has come to that, complete control of the mind, and that person, chandike chatat. In other words, he is so close to you. He is easily available for him. Suppose you try to get him through your mind, if you try to make contact with him through the mind, right? What does that mean? It means, mind means chittavritti, thought waves, isn't it? Through chittavritti, you cannot get him. Durastam, he is too far for that. If you are able to get rid of all the chittavritti from inside, thought waves from inside, and and if your mind has become pure, then andike chatat, right? He is so close to you then. So, mind puts a spanner everywhere. This mind is our main. Krishna, Arjuna said to Krishna, did he not? Chanjalam himana Krishna, pramadi bhalaval dridam, he says. So, till this mind is purified, this will not happen, right? So, if you are able to do that, if the chittavritti stops completely, then andike chatat, he is very close to you, and you realize him within yourself as your very self, he is present inside, right? So, that is what that verse means. Durastam chandike chatat means that. Durastam chandike chatat. Bihirandascha bhutanam acharam charam evacha sushmatvata tada vipyeyam durastam chandike chatat. Durastam chandike chatat. Right? Here you will see on the bhashyam it says bahi tuk paryandam deham almadvena avidyakalpidam apekshatam eva avadhim krutva bahi muchyade tada pratyagalpanam apeksha deham eva avadhim krutva andamuchyade. Thinking that the body is the self, it is on that basis it is saying that outside inside, as though the body is the self, right? And on that basis only the Antaryami is spoken as inside, right? bahi andacha idi ukte madhya abhave praptam pada. If you sing like this, just like when you see a snake as a rope, in the same way, acharam charam eva cha, yat characharam deha bhasam, eva jnayam yasa rajusarpa bhasam. Similarly, we are doing, what we do is, we think that this body is a self. Again that point. When you see the rope, you mistook it as a snake. Is it not? Rajusarpam. Rope has been mistakenly taken as a snake. In the same way, body has been mistakenly taken by us as a self. Remember yesterday what I was saying, from Rishi's point of view, we are in an abnormal state. We are not in the normal state. We are thinking we are okay, but they are saying we are not okay. From Rishi's view, we are not in the normal state. We are in an abnormal state, identifying with the body, and this is all the nature of that abnormality in us. So, and sarvabhasam tathabi vamavat sushmam. It is true, but it is sushmam like agasham, right? Even though it is present as like this, compared to space, that atmasvarupam, present in everyone as their very self, but we, in our ignorant state, is not able to recognize him. Although he is present in everyone as the Antaryami. Vidusham tu atmai vedam sarvam, brahmai vedam sarvam. Jnanis, realized souls, they know everything is Atma and everything is Brahmam, and Atma and Brahmam, the realized souls, they know that. So, so saying that, it says that the next verse. So, Bahirandasya Bodhanam Ajaram Charamevacha Sushmatvata Davitnyayam Durastam Chantike Chatat. Basically, Krishna is saying there that one side is charam, other side is acharam. Inside is acharam, outside is charam. It is extremely subtle. Sushmatvat avijñeyam. But, and it is, when mind is functioning, or when there is thought waves in the mind, durastam. When the mind is very pure, there is no chittavati in the mind, cha andike chatat, is so close to you. That's Krishna's way of saying that. That's how Krishna puts it. Durastam chandike chatat. He said that. Next verse. Avibhaktam ja bhudeshu. Vibhaktam ivajastidam. Bhudar bhartadatnyayam. Grasishnu prabhavishnu cha. Avibhaktam ja bhudeshu, vibhaktam ivachastitam, bhuda bhartraja tatnyayam, grasishnu prabhavishnu cha. When you look at other living entities, all living entities, when you look at them, what do you see? You see there that everybody is separate, everyone is different, one is different from the other, right? And all people fall as individuals, personalities. Everyone is a personality on its own. And among them there is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, in this way. Similarly, male, female, all these things. And we are thinking that everyone is different. That is in us, right? Krishna is saying, avibhaktam ja bodeshu. Atma is not like that. People are different. Personality, in the jiva state, everybody is different. In the jiva form, right? So, then we have got birds, animals, everything. In all of them, all living entities, Krishna is saying, I am there in all of them, right? Which means this awareness is present in everyone. Ya tidyang naradeva ahamaham andaspudam grihyade. And everybody says, I am, I am, I am, in that way. So that bodham of my existence, awareness, is equal in everybody. There is no higher and lower in that. Everybody feels their own existence on an equal level. They feel like that. But when you look outside, you see everyone is different, right? But actually Krishna is saying there is only one. But when you look through the world outside, you find everybody is separate, right? Vastu is only one, but in perception it is many. That's the situation. That's what he's saying here. Avibhaktam cha bhudeshu vibhaktam ivachastitam. Right? Avibhaktam cha bhudeshu. Krishna is present in everyone. There's only Krishna is present in everybody. That's one. That's one. Avibhaktam cha bhudeshu. But when you look at them, vibhaktam cha, vibhaktam ivachastitam. Vibhaktam ivachastitam. Right? So, again that famous example. Yeah. Sun is in the sky. And if you keep 100 pots here with water in there, in every pot you see the reflection of the sun. And depending on the color of the water, the sun's color will change. Right? If the water is reddish color, the sun will look reddish. And the sun in the sky has no connection with the water in the pot or its reflection. It has no connection, right? And this reflection of the sun in the water, strictly speaking, even the reflection is not affected by the color of the water, right? There is only one vastu, but millions of bodies and millions of subtle bodies, chittam, right? So, in all these chittam, all their subtle bodies, this Antaryami is reflecting in everyone's chittam, right? And depending on the samskaram of the chittam, what samskaram you have in the chittam, you are seeing them differently. In Swarupam, everybody is the same. In Swabhavam, everybody is different. No, one is not like the other. In Swabhavam. In Swarupam, everyone is the same. Right? So, that is why that Upanishad statement, Ekam evam adyutiyam brahmam, neha nanasti kinchana. One bodham, one consciousness, and gives us an impression as though it appears as though there is many. Actually there is only one consciousness, but it gives the impression to us as though there is many. Because of what? Because of the different subtle bodies, upadhi. Upadhi bhedam creates a difference in the different jivas. Somebody is male, female, human beings, animals, birds, plants, all these are different dresses that is put on based on the subtle body. From their subtle body that different forms have come. Okay. So, and if you go and inquire about that, avibhaktanja bhudeshu vibhaktam ivajasthidam, right? Then if your attention has fallen onto the bodham or consciousness inside, once you touch that, you have touched everybody. Because touching that consciousness is the difficult thing. You know what I'm saying is, remember Shukha Brahmarshi, sam sarva bhuta hridayam munimana tosmi. If you look at that line, that's very clear, isn't it? Sarvabhuta hridayam, he is present in everyone. Why? Because he has touched inside. that Antaryami inside. That is why, right? So once you have touched that, you will touch everyone's Bodham, consciousness, right? Because Bodham is one. There's only one Bodham. Bodham is one, present in everyone. Right? And one who is present inside everyone, in every living entity, in every jiva, one's present inside the heart as a self, and he controls every jiva, present inside everyone, as Antaryami, he controls, right? And that principle is what Krishna has said at the end, Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam, Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi, right? And at the time of devastation, it is him who is withdraws everything. And at the time of creation, he is responsible, from him everything comes. That's what he is saying here. Bhuda Bhartraja Tatnyayam Grasishnu Prabhavishnuja. Grasa means that at the time of devastation, he pulls back everything. And at the time of creation, he releases everything, and he is responsible at the time of creation for that. Prabhavishnuja. So, in other words, he is the one, this Antaryami, who releases everything and he pulls back everything to himself, right? Grasishnu Prabhavishnucha. So, another important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Avibhaktam Ja Bhudeshu, to get no misunderstanding about Antaryami and the Jiva. Connection, relationship between Antaryami and Jiva. All these verses are pure Vedanta mythes. You can't do it, say it in any other way. It won't make any sense if any other way you try to present it. Because in several commentaries you will see that, trying to justify their explanation to that, but it won't make much sense. Avibhaktam ja bhudeshu vibhaktam ivajastidam abhudha bhartraja talpnyayam grasishnu prabhavishnucha. After saying all these things, the next very, very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, right? That is the next verse. Jyodisham abhidat jyodi tamasaparamuchyade jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtidam. Jyodisham abhidat jyodi tamasaparamuchyade jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtidam. Right? What has he seen? He is the jyotis of all the jyotis. We are looking at this world, right? What do we see here? Our eyes see the world, right? And how do I see the world? Because of the light from the sunlight. I'm able to see this world, right? So I saw the objects of this world through the sunlight. If I have the eye only, will I be able to see everything? No, I won't be able to see. Just because I got the eyes, I won't be able to see. The eye is able to see things because behind the eye, the mind is there. Is it not? If the mind is not there, then even if you have the eyes, you won't see it. Sometimes, you know this. Suppose you are very busy reading something. Seriously, you are reading something. Your mind completely focused on that. And you are thinking about that inside. And if a person passes through, you won't notice it. Because you are absorbed in the mind so much. So even though your eyes are wide open, and the person has gone in front of you, you won't notice it. Why? The eye didn't get the support from the mind. This happens all the time in our daily life, is it not? When you are very focused on something, you won't notice many other things, what's happening. So, similarly, how did the mind see it? So that means, just because you got the eyes doesn't mean you are going to see it unless the mind is backing up the eye from behind, right? Another example, in the dream state, the eyes are not working, but you are seeing in the dream state, is it not? How do you experience the dream? You are seeing so many things happening in the dream and you are sleeping. Your eyes are closed. What does that show? It shows that I can only work as long as the mind is supporting the eye from behind, right? So, because the eye is dependent on the mind, yeah? Just like in the dream state, in the Kathopanishad also says the same thing. You will notice in the Kathopanishad, it has spoken, right? Ya eshu sopneshu jagarti kamam kamam purusho nirmimanam tadeva shukram tal brahmam tadevam amrutam uchyate tasmin loga shri ta sarve taduna tyedi kaschana edadvai tat. Trying to make us understand the soul, yeah, he is saying here, Nachiketas asked this question to Yama. What is Atma? What is soul? This is the $1 million question all the time everybody is asking. What is soul? Right? So Yama says to him, my dear child, when you sleep at night, right, and your body is lying there, like a dead body, it is lying there, and you are dreaming, right? But inside you are seeing so many things happening in your dream. And all that you are experiencing it inside. Your body is lying there, eyes are closed, and you are living in that dream world, right? And you got the light to see everything. Where did the light come from, right? So you have switched off the light, the room is dark, but in the dream there is plenty of light, and you are able to see things, right? And when you saw the dream, how did you experience that? Because when that dream state, what you are experiencing at that time, Antaryami inside provides the light for you to experience. Don't you think it is a very amazing phenomenon, what happens in the dream? In the normal vacant state, you see the things with the eye, and you require the light from the sun, and you are seeing the world. When you go into dream state, the sun is not there, there is no light in the room, you switched off the light, eyes are closed, and then you are seeing everything very clearly in the dream. How did that happen? That's what he's saying here. Because of the Antaryami. Antaryami is helping you to see those things, right? And then Yama told Nachiketas, Edadvaitad, that's you. So many verses you will see that in the Kathopanishad at the end, Edadvaitad, to make us understand what Antaryami is. Edadvaitad, that's what you are, he says to him. Right? So, so Antaryami inside, it doesn't have any name. Right? And this whole world is dependent on that Antaryami. Antaryami, right? Who is seeing through the eye? Mind. Who sees the mind? Buddhi. And sometimes you can see that, sometimes we all say this, right? We say, I'm in a bad mood. Off mood, you say. Who is saying that? Buddhi is saying that. Buddhi is saying us, telling us, to tell others, I am in a bad mood. Yeah? So, similarly, if bad thoughts comes inside, in the mind, people say, oh, it should not come in your mind, right? But then why does it come? Who says that? Buddhi says that. Buddhi says that, right? So, buddhi is that discriminating faculty inside us, right? Buddhi is the eye of the mind, Buddhi is the eye of the mind. And the eye of the eye is mind. Buddhi is the eye of the mind, and eye of the eye is mind. Eye of the eye is mind. So, Buddhi is the eye of the mind. Sometimes we will say like this, we will say this, my Buddhi is not working. Sometimes you are trying to think about something, but you are not able to get involved in that. Buddhi is not working. Sometimes we say the mind is not working, or bad mood we say. Sometimes about Buddhi we say like that. They say they have different way of saying that in different languages. Then it's not clicking, they say sometimes. It's not clicking for me. Or I can't connect with that in that way, right? So therefore, you're not able to think about it. You know, when you say that, sushupti. Sushupti, you are saying, I didn't know what was happening. Buddhi is not able to say anything. Mind is not able to say anything, right? Buddhi didn't know what has happened in the sushupti. You are trying to understand what happened in the sushupti. But Buddhi, even if you put all your Buddhi into work, still Buddhi cannot get it, what happened inside the sushupti, right? So what does Buddhi say? Buddhi say, I didn't know what happened, right? Then how did you know that what sushupti was doing to us, right? That is you, he says. The one who, when you wake up in the morning, when he tells you that you had a good time, that comes from Antaryami. It doesn't come from the Buddhi, because Buddhi was not conscious of anything what was happening in the sushupti, right? So, and it is based on that famous verse called Egashlogi. Egashlogi is in one verse, this whole, we discussed this verse before, it's on the website if you want to look at it. It's a famous verse. In that one verse, what happened between a Brahmana in his discussions with Acharya Swamiji about that, what he said, yeah? So, Kim Jodhistava Bhanumana Mahimhanime Ratro Pradivadigam Syadevam Ravidirba Deepa Darshanavido Kim Jodhi Rakhyahite Chakshustasya Nimilanadi Samaye Kim Dir Dhyo Darshane Kim Tatrahamato Bhavan Paramagam Jodhistadasmi Prabho. What happened was the experience inside, right? Experience inside what is happening in sushupti. A old Brahmana comes to see him, and they had a discussion about that, right? That the conversation goes like this. He spoke about this, that I've studied all the books, but still I'm not able to realize it. Because its Swarupam is Satta Chitta Anandam. That's the Swarupam of the Antaryami, right? So in Sushupti everything disappears. The world goes, the body goes, the mind goes. What exists in the Sushupti then, if all these things go away? Only your existence is there, and that's you. Acharya Swamiji said this to that Brahmana who came, right? And that is Sachidanandam, and that you should realize. So the old Brahmana says to him, whatever you have said is understand, looks nice, but my chittam is not able to enter into that, not able to comprehend it, right? And what is that thing what you call chitta? What is that, right? So, Acharya Swami asked that question. What is that chitta? What you are talking about? He said, I don't know, because I am more or less guessed, it is my guessing only, that it is because of that chit inside that he is a witness of everything and he does not go through any changes, and due to his presence only you are experiencing all the three states, Jagat, Swapnam and Sushupti, and I assume that that is Atma, he says to him. Acharya Swami says, that's good, but you can get to know him in three different ways. One through prakasham, enlightenment, or through existence, or through anandam. Either through satta, or through chitta, or through anandam. Because they are always together. If you can, through sat alone, if you can analyze it, you can get to know chitta and anandam with that. Or through chit only, and then you will get to know sat and anandam. Or through anandam, and you will get to know sat and chitta. In that way. That was the... So, you have spoken about prakasham, light, right? You are seeing this world, and where did you get the light for that, to see this world? From the sun, obviously, and during the daytime. What about the night? In the night I need some light, lamp, to see it, right? So, then how do you see the moon, the light, or the lamp? How do you see that? He said, oh, I see them with my eyes. Okay, then what happens when you go into the dream then? You close your eyes and still you are seeing the dream and you are seeing everything what's happening in the dream. Where did that come from? So the old man says, the old Brahmana says to him, that's coming from the mind, what is present inside, and the buddhi. So Ajaya Swami asked him, where does the buddhi come from? Who sees the buddhi then? He said, me, he said. Says, then who is me then? So it's me, he says. So who knows that this me? Who is knowing that? And that's you. Both of them. Right? So, in Sushupti, because beauty of Sushupti is, nobody in Sushupti has complained about it till now in this world. Oh, I had a terrible time in the Sushupti, you don't say that. Sushupti, everybody is happy. Everyone is happy in this world, right? So, because you don't experience any distress in Sushupti, that happiness what you are experiencing then, that is your actual Surupam, right? And in this way, Satta, Chitta, Anandam, these three things, all together is Tattvamasi. Bhavan Paramagam Jyoti. That's what is you. So, this famous verse, Ekashlogi, was spoken in this context, right? And that is why this verse is famous. Jyodisham abhidat jyoti stamasa paramuchyate jnanam eyam jnanagamyam hrdi sarvasya vishtitam. Right? So, basically it is bringing the Mahavakyam Tattvamasi into us, right? And you know, it is a famous statement from Jesus, I am the light, that was taken from this. I am the light, he says, right? So, if you think that the person who was born 2000 years ago, if he is the light, you cannot go searching for him now. But that statement was not understood properly. That was a problem. When he said, I am the light, he has studied Upanishads and he understood what he meant by I am the light was not understood by the followers. And they took it as a person who has come 2000 years ago, come and gone, right? So that I am the light, that light is in every one of us, right? And it is because of that light only we get to know the world outside. And if you give attention to that light, then you won't see this world anymore. And if your attention moves away from that light, when it becomes chittam, that is when we become trapped in the maya. Trapped in the maya, right? And that's when you see the world outside. It is a subtle thing. This verse is very subtle. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti tamasap paramuchyade jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam hrithi sarvasya vishtidam. That means, if you are in that I am the light state, means with the Antaryami realization inside, right? From that, if you fall off, our drishti goes away. Drishti means our vision or realization falls from that, and it becomes chitta. That's how chitta comes. It becomes chittam. Then what happens is, we come to the world outside. Right? And it is in that jyoti, what he is saying here, jyotisham abhidat jyoti, the vasanas that is present inside us, it creates the world for us. Yeah, this is a very subtle point what Krishna is saying in this verse. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. What is that jyoti? Jyoti is this, that you remember yesterday we discussed this. Krishna said like this. Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashu brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. He's saying. Is he not? You know what that means, isn't it? He's saying that parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashu brashyade. He fall down. What does this fall down means? Fall down means from spiritual state you fall into the materialistic state. Material state. We are in the material state at the moment, identifying with the body. Mind is working, intelligence is working, senses are working, world is real. This is the fallen state. Fallen state of consciousness, right? So, once we fall away from Antaryami realization to the Jiva Bhavam, vasanas comes in. Vasanas comes into that. And vasanas create the world outside, our vasana. That is why every one of us sees the world differently. Isn't it? So, that jyoti is inside, and that jyoti is inside. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. Around that, all our vasanas are moving around. Vasanas are present inside, right? And it comes out through our senses, and that's called vijrambhanam. Vijrambhanam means it comes out through the senses, right? Then you are experiencing the world outside, right? And at that time, who is the person who is seeing the world? That's me, right? And that's what he's saying, sir. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti, right? Jyotisham abhidat jyoti, he's saying there. So, who is the one who is seeing that? Paramam jyoti. Paramam jyoti. You remember, we discussed this verse before in Kathopanishad also. It is taken from the Kathopanishad, these verses, right? Kathopanishad says that na tatra suryo bhadi, na chandra taragam, nema vidyido bhandi, kutoyam agni, tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. In that one verse, Yama told Nachiketas that sun, the moon, the stars, all of them, and they cannot, they won't be experienced by us if he is not there in that, if Antaryami is not there. So, you see what rishis have found out. Rishis are saying, the sun is shining because Krishna is inside. Krishna means Antaryami. Krishna is there in the sun. Therefore, sun is shining. Not helium. When helium runs out, it will drop. When Krishna leaves, it will drop. But that's why Surya, Agni, sun, they are all worshipable because of Krishna's manifested form in this world. Sun is Krishna's manifested form. And therefore, chanting Gayatri to please Krishna in the sun. When you worship Krishna in the sun as Narayana, Surya Narayana, that's when you chant Gayatri. Right? And rishis are 100% sure on this. They don't have any doubts about it. That in the sun, Krishna is... Not only that, sun is accepted as the authority in the path of spiritual life. Solar dynasty came from him. Added to that, Krishna is saying, what did he say in the Bhagavad Gita? I have instructed the sun god, Bhagavad Gita. So, where are the scientists and where are the rishis? Think about that. What the rishis are saying about the sun, and from whom all this knowledge was given to them first, right? Imam vivasvade yogam, proktamanam avyayam, vaivasvan manuve praha manurikshagave bravit. So, rishis are saying to us, the sun is a source from to whom spiritual knowledge was given first. Krishna says that, is it not? Imam vivasvade yogam. This yoga system, I have spoken to the sun god, some millions and millions of years ago. Proktavanaham avyayam. And then from Vayusvan came Manu, and then Ikshvaku, and then the solar dynasty came like that. So, sun's position in the Vedic literature is so powerful and strong that Jnanamargam comes through the sun. Whole Jnanam process, spiritual knowledge comes through the sun to this world. That is his position. And then we are saying, this is the problem with the science is, we have started looking at everything through matter. We are completely convinced that there is only matter exists here. And therefore, the mystery behind these creation, we are not able to touch that. The mystery of the creation. Mystery of the creation is this, that in this creation, so many things are in separate state because of the presence of the soul in that. Antaryami, right? The sun has its role. The moon has its role. The water has its role. The air has its role. The fire has its role. In all that, there is a mysticism behind it. That mystification of that, we have learned how to destroy it through this science process now. When you educate people through science, what happens is, over a period of time, if you study only science, this modern science, you become so dull in your head, you are not able to connect with any mystic power operating in this world. You become so dull after that. This is the problem with this. Same thing with this body also. You can see how people become dull like that, spiritually dull. Then understanding that there is a power operating in this world beyond matter. And that thing goes away when you start seeing everything as matter, 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 matter. And start looking at matter only. Everything is matter. And if that's the way if you see things, how will you understand the sun? How will you understand the moon? How will you understand all the other elements in this world? This is the problem. See how our way of thinking. That is why we are looking for the origin of the world through the matter. How are you going to find it? So this problem is a big damage science has done to the world. Science may have given so many other technology and all that. That's okay. But our way of looking at this world through science creates this problem. Start thinking that everything is matter. Only matter, nothing else exists here. What you see, that's what real. This misunderstanding. So these verses in the Kathopanishad is saying against that. He says, tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. Yeah? Without the presence of the Antaryami, sun cannot shine, the moon cannot shine. Neither the heat, there cannot be heat in the fire. Fire won't have the heat. Water will not have that power to flow in different directions. Where is that coming from? When you leave water, immediately it becomes a leveler. It flows in all directions, is it not? So where is that power coming from? And we don't look at that. We are only looking at it, this another matter. Water is matter, Earth is matter, air is matter, everything is matter. Matter everywhere. Or finally you say, it doesn't matter. That's what it is. Yeah. So, tamasa paramuchyate. And same thing here he's saying, with that presence of that antaryami inside, our mind, buddhi, ahankaram, ego, and this body, and this personality, I am, the jiva bhavam, right? Ultimately, they all disappear in the sushupti. Is it not? And where do they go in the sushupti? In sushupti, where do they go? In sushupti, you don't know anything. You don't know your body, you don't know your mind, you don't know your intelligence, you don't know your ego, ahankaram. You are not conscious of any of those things. And still, you are saying, when you wake up, I was happy. When you wake up, you say, I was happy, right? So, it has gone somewhere at that stage in sushupti, right? And who has seen that state? Who has seen that state? When you are in sushupti, everything has gone. And everything has disappeared. And if you have transcended that state, right? that is that state what he is talking about. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. That jyoti which exists, tamasa paramuchyate. You see, understand this. Jagrat sapnam sushupti, right? Jagrat is in the vacant state. Dream state is satugunam in the jagrat. Rajogunam in the dream state. Tamogunam in the sushupti. If you are able to cross over that tamogunam, which is because of that tamogunam only, you are not able to cross over that. In that sushupti state, body goes away, mind goes away, intelligence goes away, everything goes away. And then you are waking up and saying to everybody, I had a nice time. But you are not able to say anything about it. What was it then happening there? That is due to the tamogunam in the deep sleep. That tamo, and that's what Krishna is saying here. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti tamasaparam uchyate. If you are able to cross over that tamogunam, that's you. That means you are in the realized state. So, tamogunam, only because of tamogunam only you have a problem in the deep sleep state, in the sushupti state, right? So, what happens is that in sushupti when you come, when you get there, see for example, the gross body takes birth, right? It grows, it keeps changing, and then it starts getting destroyed and finally die, goes away. Right? Subtle body also, it's born at some time and then it keeps growing gradually and then all thoughts, emotions, everything, it becomes bigger. Similarly, karana shariram, the causal body also. You can see how causal body is born and causal body means deep sleep state, sushupti, right? You can see babies, when they are born, they sleep many hours, is it not? 18, 20 hours they sleep, right? And then gradually what happens? It comes down as you wake up. And then as you keep growing, it comes to 14 hours, then 9 hours, 8 hours and all that. And what happens, by the time you get very old, this karana shariram, causal body inside, completely goes away. And that is why you can notice this, after a certain age, you don't get sushupti. Why? Karana shariram has gone. Karana shariram has come and become one with the sushma shariram. There is no more karana shariram left. You started life with a big karana shariram. You ended the life with the smallest karana shariram. Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you know that? Because when you are born, you are sleeping 18-20 hours, which means your karana shariram was big. That's why you are sleeping so long. And by the time very old age comes, 75, 80 and all that, practically you don't get any sleep. There's no much sleeping. Dreaming something, just have a little nap here and little nap there. Most of the time you are awake, running, walking here and there, doing something or the other. So old age is like that. Karana shariram is finished by then. Karana shariram is strong in the beginning, but at the end it is, there is no karana shariram. Nothing exists, right? So all what happens is, you have got a big sushma shariram then, right? And that is why, because the sushma shariram is big, that's why in the old age, people are thinking all the time. Have you noticed that? Vriddhastaval chinda satta. That's what it is. Vriddhastaval chinda satta. What has happened? What's going to come? Now next. Thinking. No answer, but thinking. Still thinking. Vriddhastaval chinda satta. That's where it's coming from. So, why is that? Sushma shariram has gone big. Sushma shariram has become big, right? So, one day, this sushma shariram also, khrasam means it shrinks. Like karana shariram got shrunk. Karana shariram in the beginning was big, but by the end of life, it has shrunk. This sushma shariram has become big. And then the sushma shariram also got, eventually it will shrink. Similarly, one day, the gross body also, stulam shariram, also will shrink, right? So, the gross bodies, the way it has grown, and then finally it shrinks, and then it disappears, right? And, which you can notice it. Similarly, the sushma shariram also, if it has, even though it has grown big, ultimately you can see sushma shariram also disappears. It shrinks and disappears, right? So, karana shariram also came as big and then it got shrunk. Sushma shariram also became very big and then finally it got shrunk. Gross body also became big and then it got shrunk and goes away. So this growth and destruction of all these three bodies, right, is noted by someone and he is not affected by anything. That's you. That's Antaryami, right? And that is what Krishna is saying here. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti tamasap paramuchyade means, referring to that you who is seeing these three bodies coming and disappearing. Gross body, subtle body and the causal body. All three of them comes, becomes big and then they disappear. But it is observed by that one who you. And that is that Jyotisham Abhidat Jyoti, what he is saying here, right? And it is because of that, he does not require anything else to know him, right? And just like if you want to see a lamp, I don't need another lamp. The lamp itself is enough, right? Sobhodena anyabhodeja bodharupadaya na atmanaha. And saying that bodham or awareness, bodham, to know bodham, you don't need anything else. Another bodham is not required. The bodham itself is your existence, right? And saying that, Krishna is saying that Jyotisham Adityanam Abhidat Jyoti Nyayam Jyotim. He is all luminaries like suns, moon, planet, everything. It's all there because of Atma present in there. Antaryami present in that, right? It is that presence of Atma that gives the stars its illumination, the moon it shining, the sun it shine. Then Yena Suryastavadi Seja Sedaha. All they have quoted so many verses from the different Upanishads, right? And then Tamasa Ajnanat Param Asprashtam Uchyade. And Ajnanam does not affect them. So Arjuna, when he heard this verse, gives the impression that Arjuna felt that this spiritual life is very difficult. Arjuna felt so. Arjuna is like us. You don't have to think of Arjuna as a special soul. It just so happened that he had all the weaknesses like everybody else had. And obviously in his conversation with Krishna, it's coming out often. Yeah. So in order to wake up Arjuna, Krishna is saying this to him, Jnanam amanitvadi, Nyeyam yattat pravakshyami. These are different places in the one place in the Nyeyam yattat pravakshyami, Krishna said in the 12th chapter, and in the 13th chapter, that amanitum ahambitum, all those verses. Jnanagamyam Nyeyam evam yadam, sat jnanabhalam iri jnanagamyam uchare jnayamanam tu Nyeyam. So, jnanam means that not to glorify oneself, not to glorify oneself, right? Jnayam means what is to be known, to know that. So, through jnanam, you have to get jnayam, and it is the result of jnanam is jnayam. Jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam. So, these three things, jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam, all three of them is in the intelligence of a person, right? And therefore, yathoktartho upasamharartham ayam shlokam arabhyade. In order to explain that this jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam, Krishna begins with the 18th verse. Further explanations. We'll discuss that after the break.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pratipada purnamradaswadanam sarvapna subanam param vijayre shri krishna sankirtanam namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala etadrushitava kripa bhagavan mamabhi ദുർദൈവമീദശമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാഹ തൃണാരഭീഷുണീചേനാം തരോരഭീസഹിഷ്ണുനാ അമാനിനാമാനദേനാ കീർത്തനീയസദാഹരി മധനം നജനം നസുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭവദാൽ ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഗിത്വയേ ഐ നന്ദതനൂജകിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം ക്ഷമൈ ഭവാം ബുധൗ കൃപയാതവപാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതദൂളീസദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം നയനം ഗളദശ്രുധാരയാം വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിരാ പുളകൈർനിജിതം ഗദാവഭൂ തവന്നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതീം യുഗായിതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗൽസർവം ഗോവിന്ദവരഹേണമേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യവാ പാദരഥാം പിനഷ്ടുമാം അദർശനാം അർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാഥാവാദുലംഭോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തുനയേവനാപരാംസർവത്രഗോവിന്ദനാമസങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ജ്യോതിഷാമപി തജ്യോതി തമസപരമുച്യതേ ജ്ഞാനം ജ്ഞേയം ജ്ഞാനഗമ്യം ഹൃദി സർവസ്യ വിഷ്ടിതം. സോ ബോധം. Bodha means awareness inside us. To know the awareness, awareness itself is what we are. It doesn't require another source to know the awareness. So like objects, if you want to see, you require the help of the mind, the senses, everything. But awareness is not something that can be known in that way. It's a different way of knowing that, right? So, this awareness or bodham or existence, that's something to be taken very seriously, because actually that's what we are, that existence. So, and we may have doubts about everything else in this world, but our own existence, we don't have any doubt about it. And thought waves are coming, chittavrittis are coming. So when the thought waves are coming, when you feel what we call as chittavritti, when the thought waves are coming, at that time also, this existence aspect, you remember this, satta, chitta, anandam. Out of that, this satta aspect, that is our existence, right? And that is the one always available. Out of these three, satta, chitta and anandam, the existence aspect is always there in us, satta aspect, right? Chitta aspect, it is noticeable in the world. It's noticeable because when you are perceiving objects in this world, it is a chitta aspect behind that. You become conscious of other things, conscious of the body, conscious of various things in this world. Its presence is known to us through the chit, bodham. It's in the bodham you experience that, right? Anandam, the third one, cannot be easily known. That can come only during the in the realized state, the anandam. So this experience inside of our existence, normally that is called anubhuti. Anubhuti means this experiencing inside, right? So, that symptom of the soul, of this existence, Vedantam, they will say it is Swayam Prakasha Lakshanam. It can give you the experience on its own without the support of anything else. So, Anibhudihi Swayam Prakashaha. So, Anibhudi Tval, Anibhudi is there, but Anibhudi is Swayam Prakashakam. Swayam Prakashakam means without any external help you experience something. Normally to experience things in this world you require senses, then the mind, and that's how you experience things. But this one thing inside, Andaryami, mind has nothing to do with it, senses have nothing to do with it. On its own, it's capable of making us of its presence. That is our existence. These are subtle things. You have to think about these verses when you think about it, right? So, if you want to compare that with something else, there is nothing else to compare about it. Anubhuti is the word for that. Anubhuti is like anubhuti only. There is no other word for that. It cannot be compared with anything else. And therefore, because it cannot be compared with anything else, it's called Swayam Prakasham. Swayam Prakasham means self-effulgence. It has got its own bodham, and therefore, without the help of any external agencies, your existence is known to you. Without the help of any external agencies, right? So, and I am conscious, every one of you are conscious of your own existence. Like I am conscious of my existence, you are all conscious of your own existence, right? And so, try to understand, this is a bit more simplified way of saying this, right? This experience I have of my own existence, right? That is not the same, like I have the body, for example. I have this body, but in my experience it is not there. It may be difficult for people to accept that, but that is how it is. In reality, I have no connection with the body. I have, the real me, have no connection with the body, right? And, so, for example, suppose you have cut off my hand or a leg, you took it off, right?
And sometimes, suppose I go into deep sleep state, I am not conscious that a part of my body has been removed through surgery. Suppose if you have taken out a part of your leg through surgery, at some time after an accident or some problem, right? In your awareness, it has not affected yet. That means in the night when you sleep, you are not conscious that a part of your body has been taken out from your body. You are not conscious of that. But then what happens to prove that? Suddenly the phone rings and you are not conscious that your leg has gone. But you got up from your bed and gone to take the phone and you fell off because the leg was gone, taken out, right? So only then you realize that you're going to fall, you realize that part of your body has been taken out, right? So, so you are getting to know that your you have the leg is there or not only when you look through the sensation. When you become sensitive to it, that you get to know that the part of the body has gone, right? Similarly, if an arm has taken out, you get to know the arm has gone when you come to the sensual level, through the sensation only, right? It is not there in your awareness. In bodham, it is not there. Body is not there in your bodham, right? See, bodham only says one thing about your existence. Aham asmi. This is Upanishad is saying this. If you think about it, you will get it, what Upanishad is saying. But you have to go a little bit subtle level and think. And then you will understand that you have no connection with the body. In other words, this existence of the body is not there in you. It is not there. Antaryami or the soul has no connection with the body. This is the reality is like that. It has no connection with the body, right? So, and that awareness is what Krishna is calling it as Swayam Prakasham. Swayam Prakasham means it can always give you this realization that you exist. And that will, again, if you look at it, body has changed, gross body has changed, subtle body has changed, causal body has changed, everything has changed, but my existence is the same when I was born, and even now, and even when I die, it's the same thing, that I exist. In that there is no increase or decrease, that awareness in both. There is no increase or decrease, right? So, and that doesn't require senses, mind, body, none of them. So, body, mind, senses, all these, for them to work, this awareness is required. But awareness doesn't require mind, senses, or the body. This is the relationship between the soul and the rest. Body, mind, senses, everything requires the support of the soul to know that its existence and for them to function. Awareness doesn't require body, mind, or the senses. So, this is the reason why Krishna said that avajanandi ma mudha, that famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. If you analyze that verse, this is what comes out. Avajanandi ma mudha manushim tanu machridam param bhavam ajanando mama bodha maheshwaram. If you, word by word, if you look at that verse, Krishna is saying to us, people think of me. If you look at the translation, you will see there. Avajanandi maam moodha manushim tanim ashridam. I have taken a body. They think of me like that. Krishna is saying that. Manushim tanim ashridam. I have taken a human form. But param bhavam ajanando. They don't know my actual nature. Who I am. Mama bodha maheshwaram. I am the soul of everyone. Ishwara of everybody. So, Bhagavad Gita verses are like that. The rishis have spoken everything, but to get connected with that verse,
what Krishna has said there, avajananti mamuda, that verse, properly to understand, you have to keep these things in the mind. Otherwise, you don't understand that verse. You know, if you look at it, simply it's Krishna's form, and analyze that verse, it won't make any sense. You can say like that also, they don't understand me, Krishna is saying. Param bhavam jānandu mamabhūta maheshwaram. Avajānandi mamūdha. Manushindani maheshwaram. I have taken this human form. That's how normally you will think like that if you read that verse. But when you read these verses, you can see why Krishna has said like that in that verse. What Krishna is saying is that because they don't understand my real nature, who I am. In other words, it's not the form he is talking about. It is that spirituality, spiritual nature of bodham, consciousness. That is his nature. And consciousness is different than the form, which is the body, manishindanim ashridam. So, it is because of that, main point Krishna is driving at is that bodham or consciousness inside is not at all dependent on the body. Not at all dependent on the body. But body is completely dependent on the consciousness. Do you get the point? Body, consciousness, or the soul, or bodham, whichever way you call it. There are so many times Krishna will use back and forth the different names and different terminologies. All means same thing. Krishna's point is, bodham, awareness, consciousness, or the soul, or the self, whatever way we call that, in him, body doesn't exist. He doesn't feel any connection with the body. Body, on the other hand, is completely dependent on him. Body is dependent on him. He is not dependent on the body. That's the point he is making here, right? So, that bodham he is saying here. So, jyotisham abhidat jyoti. All the senses are considered to be jyoti. They are all jyotis, right? And the same jyoti is causing all the senses to work. So that's why Krishna is saying that jyotisham abhidat jyoti. This jyoti inside, jyoti means this andaryami inside, because of his presence, all these other senses, similarly the mind, similarly the intelligence, they are all working. In other words, the jyoti behind all the other jyotis is andaryami. Because of andaryami's presence, all the senses are working, all the mind is working, buddhi is working, intelligence is working, memory is working, ahankaram is working, everything is working only because of the presence of this jyoti inside. So, therefore, he is using that. Jyotisham abhidha jyoti tamasa param uchyate. And then he says, similarly, he talks about sun, moon, everything, right? Upanishad says that this bodham, awareness inside, it came out through the eye and it became sun and the moon, everything. Right. It came through the ear and became the space. And similarly, it came through the nose and became the earth. This is how it is spoken in the Upanishads. You understand what I'm saying? It came through the eyes and it became the sun and the moon. This is how their language is like that. We got to become their way of thinking. Yeah? It came through the ear and it became the space. It came through the nose and it became the earth. Why? Gandham and Prithvi, earth. They are connected to each other. Similarly, the space and the sound, they are connected to each other, isn't it? Shabdam and Agasham, they are connected to each other. The nose the smell, gandham, and earth, they are connected to each other, because gandham is the tanmatra of the earth. Similarly, sound is the tanmatra of the space. So in Upanishad they will say like this, right? So what has come out? Prajna. Prajna means consciousness, bodham. Different names, prajna, jnapti, bodham, chaitanyam, andaryami, all means the same thing. They all mean the same thing. But in different occasions, different words will be used. Then it's all jyotis. So because he is like that, andaryami has come out like this in different ways, he is the jyoti of all the jyotis. So that's what he's saying here. Tamasap paramuchyade. You see that? Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. Tamasap paramuchyade. Then jnanam yayam jnanagamyam. Third line. Jnanam yayam jnanagamyam. Normally, everything in this world, I get to know something. Some knowledge in this world, knowledge about something, right? What happens there? I am the knower, then the knowledge is there, and the object is there, whom I get to know what the object is, right? So the vastu or the object, what I have to know, is separate, and the one who is knowing that vastu is separate, and the process of knowledge is separate. Three things there. The knower and the subject, what is known, and the process of knowing it, the knowledge, right? But this awareness inside, bodham, what we are talking about, right? That is nirvikalpa. Nirvikalpa bodham it is called. Nirvikalpa means there is no vikalpam in there. In other words, the one who is knowing it, the object what is known, and the process of knowing it is all one. Is all one. That means in bodham, when you get to know, nirvikalpa bodham, this breakup like this in these three ways doesn't exist. These three things exist, which is called tribhuti. Remember tribhuti? Tribhuti means I am here, the world is there, God is there. That is how tribhuti works in this world. Tribhuti, it's a thing what comes in the yoga processes. One has to overcome tribhuti to come to this state. Yeah. So when tribhuti is there, I am there, the object is there, and the process of knowing the object is there. Once you have crossed this tribhuti, what happens? These three things goes away and only bodham exists. Only bodham exists, right? And therefore, this nirvikalpa yogam, it is called, right? Nirvikalpa yogam. Nirvikalpa yogam will, what happens is, this nirvikalpa yogam, it can come and it can go, right? Because this mind, where we have all these thought waves, chitavritti, right? Normally when you are studying things through the mind, through your intelligence like that, right? And nirvikalpa bodham, unlike the other one, where we study through the mind and intelligence, it is dependent on the chitavritti, thought waves. You see, when you are using mind and intelligence to know things, it is through chitavritti you are knowing it. Is it not? Through chitavritti you are getting to know things, right? Whereas, if it is through bodham, when it comes to bodham, it's a totally different thing. And that is why in Bhagavatam also says this particular word called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means, right, recognition of things. Rather than knowing things, recognizing something. Presence of the soul, you don't get to know him through studying the books. You got to realize him. That's why they say you have to realize him. And that realizing process is called, realizing is called a pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna. That's the word for that. Yeah. So Pratyabhijna comes when you cross over this platform of mind. You see, the mind has got a big influence on us. We are under the grip of the mind. Mind is dictating to us and we are doing everything what the mind tells us to do. So if the mind tells me that science is superior to spiritual knowledge, and if I get victimized by the mind, I'm finished. My spiritual life is over then. So to understand that the mind can mislead you many times. This is why Krishna is saying all the time about the mind. Have you noticed in Bhagavad Gita? Beware of the mind, he is saying. This mind can trap you one day and your spiritual life is over with that. And you see that all the time happening to people. Every time, even devotees, even though they practice the spiritual life, sometime in their life something comes, and if the mind took over, they are finished. They are fallen from the spiritual platform. They will fall from that. That is why while studying Bhagavad Gita, you got to have completely acceptance of what Krishna is saying there. That you get victimized by the mind, then nobody can help you, he says. Yeah. How many places he has said that? In 6th chapter, 3rd chapter, in many places, he has spoken about the mind. Yeah. So, so that is what the point here is, that nirvikalpa means where mind is not involved. When the mind is involved, vikalpam comes straight away. Yogis have studied this into the minute detail, and that's why they are able to say this to us. This is not researched knowledge. This is coming from realizations. This is not research knowledge. Research won't get you this knowledge. Yeah. So when you don't have this faith, so you need to have faith in this, what Krishna is saying first. And then you have to practice it. That is the yoga, that's the way the rishis approaches. Rishis are saying to us, we don't want any money from you. We don't want anything from you. What we are saying to you is, we have searched for the truth, we have realized it, and this is the nature of the truth. You can also do it, and you can also find it on your own way. This is their advice to us. That's all they are saying. We have searched for the truth, we have done, worked hard on this, and we have come to realize that this is the nature of the truth. In other words, the mind is not the tool for knowing the truth. Mind is not the tool for knowing the truth. Yeah. So, but what is required? Because when mind is involved, vikalpam is there. You remember vikalpam. When vikalpam comes, then you are in trouble. Once vikalpam comes, so that's why that state is called nirvikalpam. When there is no vikalpam, in the nirvikalpam stage, you don't get victimized. You are safe at that time, right? So, in the manomandalam, in the platform of the mind, nothing will stay permanent. You may have observed that. Mind will tell you one thing now, and after a few minutes, it will tell you the right opposite thing to do, right? And therefore, nirvikalpam state, you don't get there through the mind, but through Shraddha. Instead, Shraddha, right? Shraddha means recognizing something due to your recognition of that, acceptance of that, and that power of Shraddha we discussed yesterday come from Vivekam. Vairagyam has to come first. Vairagyam comes from Vivekam, and Vivekam comes in the form of Shraddha in a person. Yeah. So, yeah. Once the Shraddha has come, this existence of the Antaryami, of course it will take long time before it gets there, right? So the experience will be there of this Antaryami's presence. And once you have touched that Antaryami, Krishna is saying here that from then on, you will start experiencing that Jyotis. And that Jyotis is what the sun is. Krishna is saying here that not the sun what is in the sky, but he is addressing the Antaryami as the sun. Antaryami is that the sun is called the Jyotish. Jyotisha Mabita Jyoti, that Jyoti is talking about. So, Atma Jagatas Tachusascha, Tachachur Devahidam Purastat. All Upanishad verses they have quoted here. And then he says here that the creation or this world in front of us is to be seen through the eye of consciousness. Chakshusha. Chakshusha is prajna. Prajna means consciousness. Right? And in other words, I get to know this world of its existence through my bodham, awareness. Right? And it is that awareness with which you get to know this world, creation, is what Krishna is saying here. Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. Three things. The knower, the known, and the knowledge, all same, is one. Jnanam, Jnayam, Jnanagamyam. Three things he has spoken about that, right? In other words, the thing what you want to get to know, and the thing what you got to get to know, and three things. The knower is consciousness. The thing what you get to know is consciousness. And knowing that is also consciousness. Three things. Jnanam yayam jnana gamyam. Kriti sarvasya vishtidam. If you study Upanishads, you will get to understand this verse better. Right? So, in everyone's heart, who is present inside as Antaryami, right? It is not Atma, when they say like that, you must know more about it. It's not that somebody is present inside, like matter. That's not how it is. When they say about a Hrit, the only reason why they say like that is, this is where you realize His presence. He is present everywhere, throughout. But when you realize Him first, you realize Him here, as Antaryami, right? So, just like I am sitting here, in the same way, if you think that Atma is sitting in the heart, in that way, if I say like that, the mistake is, you will start thinking that Atma is small and heart is big. Is it not? If I say like that, Atma is inside the heart, naturally your mind will think like this. Atma is small, heart is a big place, so it's got a place to sit there. That's wrong. That's not correct. Right? So, Hrit Eva Ayam. That is how this word Hridayam comes. Hrit Eva Ayam. Right? Hrit means, all it means is, it is the location. That's all it is saying, the location. Right? And He is present at that location. That's all it means by the word Hridayam, Hrit. Right? So, showing us that that's a location, that's all. Right? In other words, when you realize the Self, that's where you realize Him. That's all it means. Right? And so this is the reason that Upanishads calls Brahman, a definition is knowledge, is it not? Vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam. And that advaya jnanam is called Brahma Paramatma Bhagavan. Why did they say like that? This is the reason. He is knowledge realization, bodham it is. That is His nature. Advaya jnanam, bodham. Yeah?
And that Advaya Jnanam, you are calling it as Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan in that way. Consciousness, right? So, where will you find him, if you ask the question? And that is when the next Mahavakyam comes, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, right? So, when you are taking, you know, in that verse, all the Mahavakyams are covered in this verse. Jyotisha Mabhida Jyoti Tamasaparam Uchyate Jnanam Yeyam Jnanagamyam Hridya Sarvasya Vishtitam. Mahavakyams are all covered in that. The first one is that Prajna is Brahmam. Prajnanam Brahma. That is covered in that. First to tell us that Brahmam means Prajna. Consciousness, in other words. Right? And where will you experience that? That is the second Mahavakyam. Aham. So, Aham, who is present inside as Prajna is Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi comes there, right? So if you want to know Brahman, and what is Brahman, where will you think of, see him or meditate upon him? In other words, my experience of me as awareness, Bodham, its actual Swarupam is Brahmam. Actual Swarupam is Brahmam. So, what have we got with us? This is what we have. What is that? That I, my existence, I exist. That is what we have got. And if you give attention on that, of our existence, right, then body, mind, intelligence, ego, and if you are able to separate from them all these things, right, and if you only give attention to that awareness, Bodham, in that case, that's Brahmam. That's Brahmam. And that is Krishna Swarupam. And that's Antaryami, right? And in the different Siddhantam in this world, they will take the same principle without, for example, Brahma Sutram, which Vedavyasa Maharshi has written, Vedanta Sutram, on which there are commentaries available, in the, that is a Vaishnava traditions. In the Shaiva tradition also, there is commentary on the same Brahma Sutram. Sri Gandhacharya, he wrote his famous commentary on, for the Shaivam, in the Shaiva tradition, right? It's called Sri Gandha Bhashyam. Like this is called Shankara Bhashyam. The other one is called Sri Gandha Bhashyam. So Sri Gandhacharya wrote that commentary on the Brahma Sutram, which is called Sri Gandha Bhashyam. So, which is very complicated apparently to study, and as more complicated than even than the Shankara Bhashyam. That's Sri Gandha Bhashyam, right? So, how do you study all these things, right? In that Sri Gandha Bhashyam, Sri Gandhacharya says, Vajo aham padarthaya lokanam siddhi hetave sachidananda rupaya shivaya paramatmani. Absolute truth, he is addressing as Shiva. Like we say Narayana, Krishna is the absolute truth. And in their statement is like, namo aham padarthaya lokanam siddhi hetave sachidananda rupaya shivaya paramatmani. Aham aham, that bodham inside, that bodham which is manifested in this world as auspicious form Shiva, I offer my obeisances to him. That's how Sri Gandhacharya's Bhashyam begins with that. So in other words, if you come to this Bhagavad Gita, studying Brahma Sutram and Upanishads and all, you get a complete different picture. They give importance to that Bodham inside. It is that Bodham, you are calling it as the name of Krishna, Shiva, and all other names, what you have given to that Bodham. Bodham is the most important thing. And that is our identity, right? So, if you inquire and find him, that's Shiva. That is Shiva. Like we say, that is Narayana, Antaryami, right? So,
So, heart, hridayam is where you experience that aham, awareness comes, right? And we should not think about that as a special location. It's a realization what happens to anyone of this awareness, bodham inside. And the mind comes from there, from that hrit, right? And senses are present inside the mind. All our senses are present inside the mind. And the body is present in the senses. You see how Shastra Rishi sees that? Rishis are saying completely different. Rishis are saying to us, the body is present in the senses, right? Senses are present in the mind, and the mind is present in the Antaryami. Mind has come from the Antaryami. Not the other way. Normally we think the body is there. Inside the body we have got senses. And inside that we have got the mind. And inside the mind we have got the soul, we say. That's our normal way of people saying about the soul. You say, oh, I got a soul. You also got a soul, which is very inside, you say. No, that's not it. You see, from the subtle level, spiritual side, if you look at it, the senses are present in the body is present in the senses. Senses are present in the mind. Mind is present in the soul. Mind is present in the soul. Right? So, because, why do we say like that? Because mind comes from the soul, not soul comes from the mind. From that itself you can see our understanding is wrong. Is it not? Our understanding is wrong. Because if the mind has come from the soul, means what? The mind is inside the soul. Normally we say, I got this body, I got the senses in the body, and inside that I got the mind, and inside the mind, and then deep inside I got the soul, we say. We say like that. But this Brahma Sutram is saying the opposite way. It says the senses, the body is present in the senses. Senses are present in the mind. Mind is present in the soul, Antaryami. Because first thing that comes out from the Antaryami is the mind. Mind means including the subtle body. And it is from the subtle body the gross body comes. So who is in whom? Who is present in whom? Strictly speaking, gross body is present inside the subtle body. Subtle body is present inside the Antaryami. So all our understanding changes then. Totally opposite, right? So, similarly, this creation, world, exists in the body, inside us, right? You may think why we are saying the wrong way. The right way is the body is present in the world. That's how we look at it, is it not? But that's how we think. The world exists outside. And this body is inside this world. And I have the mind inside this body. And inside that, it's me, the self, right? Yat panchako shalpagam asti deham tan anandada. So, this leaving this material body, right, which is made of material elements, if you leave this body, without this body, you cannot see this world, right? You cannot see the world if you don't have a body, right? So, what does world mean? World means that this is more subtle. World means these five sensual actions. Seeing, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Sound, touch, smell, taste and form. This is the world actually, is it not? You see, this connection with the world is through these five outlets. Five windows or five outlets. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Sound, touch, smell, taste and form. It is through this you are getting the world inside us, right? So, this experience, these five experiences, what you have, is there without the senses in your dream state. You get that in the dream state, right? So therefore, what they're saying is, because you are getting it in the dream state, without senses, what it means is, senses are present in the mind. Totally different. We think something and we go on living on that concept. Shastram says completely opposite. Yeah? So because in the Swapnam, without senses you can do all these things. Without senses, you can do all that things. Therefore, the conclusion from the rishis are, senses are present in the mind. Senses are present inside the mind. So, that is the proof for that. That's the proof for that, right? And inside the mind, the senses are dormant there, present there. Only thing is, when you wake up, it comes in its gross form. And then when it comes in its gross form, you are experiencing hearing, seeing, touching, tasting, and smelling. It happens in the world, outside, right? But these things can happen inside, in the dream state, without them being active. All these experiences, all these five things can happen. And therefore, rishis are saying, actually, senses are present inside the mind. Only when they come out, they come and experience the world, outside world. We have a long way to go, because normally, because we got so used to this world as real, and everything in the world as real, we are totally in the negative way we have studied everything, right? So then he says here, then the question comes, right? In the mind, rishis are very particular about it. They are saying to us that all the senses are inside your mind. Yeah? These five different senses, right? In other words, senses and the mind, there is not a big difference, right? From where did the mind come then? Mind is saying to us that, so for example, we say mind, we talk about, for my mind we say, like, where did the mind come from? You can go and ask any psychiatrist or psychologist, and you ask them, where did the mind come from? They have no answer for that. Nobody can tell you where the mind has come from. Yeah? So, but Upanishads are saying, the place where from the mind came, that's Antaryami. That's Antaryami, right? So, and how can you find out where the mind has come from? Only thing, the way you can do is that, where does the mind disappear? You find that first. When the mind disappears, where does that disappear, right? So, just like when you go to sleep, the mind disappears. When you go to deep sleep, the mind disappears, right? And then you are coming out and saying, you had a good time when you wake up. So that time, where was the mind? Where was the mind, right? So that place where the mind has gone and taken shelter, that's the place where the mind has come from. If you study psychology, you won't get an answer to this. They can treat your mental problems and all that. But if you ask them, where did the mind come from? They have no answer for that. So the rishi's approach is, if you want to find out where the mind has come from, you find out where the mind disappears. And that's the same place where it came from. And that place you can get to know in the sushupti, in the deep sleep state, because it's disappearing. Mind is disappearing, right? And that is why it is said that the that location where it disappears is what Krishna is saying in the 11th chapter, in the second verse. Look at the 11th chapter. In the second verse, what Krishna is saying about it. In one word, Krishna has put it, you are supposed to know it. So, prabhavapyavhi bhudanam, he says. Prabhavapyavhi bhudanam. That particular verse in the 11th chapter, that's referring to that location where the mind disappears. Bhavapyavhi bhudanam. Bhavapyavhi bhudanam shudho vistareshomaya tutu kamalapatrasha mahatma vijavyayam. That bhavapyavhi bhudanam. Bhavapyavhi bhudanam means, where did all bhudams come? Where did they originate from? From that source, Andaryami. Andaryami source. Yeah. So, that location where it came from, that is that hrita, and in sushupti, that's where the mind goes, right? So from this you can understand, unless you study all the three states, you are not studying it properly. Just studying only the vacant state and coming up with some conclusions is not correct. It's not perfect, right? You should study both the gross body as well as the subtle body. And you should study all the three states as well. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Only then you can say that your conclusions are right. Otherwise they are not correct. They are not correct. Yeah. So, Sushupti, in Sushupti, in deep sleep state, what happens? Somewhere the mind goes and disappears. Disappears, right? And that place where it disappears is called Hrit. Hridayam, right? And so, forcefully, with full consciousness, full awareness, if you succeed in bringing the senses and dissolving in the mind, and if you succeed in dissolving the mind in the heart, hrit, right, doing that is called nyasam. You must have heard that word, nyasam. Karanyasam, manganyasam, this is all in the Bhagavatam, talked about that. People won't bother to understand what this nyasam means. Nyasam means this, that consciously, you are able to take all, you must have noticed when they do deity worship, touching here, there, like this and all they do. Sometimes people who are doing that, they have learned how to do it physically. But they have not understood that, what is the principle behind that. The principle is this, that all the different senses are taken back to its source, from the mind, to the mind. So, senses are brought back into the mind, and the mind is taken back into the heart, to the location there. And that's called a nyasam. And one who is able to do that in practice, able to withdraw the mind, senses to the mind, and mind to its source where it came from, one who is able to do that, according to definition, he is the sannyasi. You know what the problem is? Problem is this, that we give too much importance to the rituals and the ceremonies without knowing the tattvam behind everything. We think, if there is a nice fire sacrifices and a lot of sannyasi sitting there in saffron with the danda in the hand, and in front of them you have chanted some mantra, put some ghee in the fire, you are given a new name and you are given a danda, you have become a sannyasi, you think like that. No. That is external things. They are all external things. And Krishna doesn't want to talk about external things. Krishna is saying to us, one who can withdraw all the senses and bring it towards the mind, and one who can bring the mind and dissolve in the self, he is a sannyasi. So, and he is the sannyasi, right? And that is the Vaidika Sampradaya. This is the Vaidika Sampradaya, remember that, right? So, in this world outside, World means a sensual thing, isn't it? Why do you say world is sensual? Because through five senses you are making the contact with the world. So everything in the world is brought into these five senses. It is through five senses you are perceiving this world. Perception of the world is through five senses. So what we actually know about this world is what we get through the senses. That's all. Nothing else. What the five senses brings it back, that's the world for us. Is it not? So the world is nothing but what the senses are reporting to us. Right? So therefore, if senses are taken out from us, the world doesn't exist for us anymore. So that is why they are saying, if the senses goes back into the mind, and the mind goes back into its source, then you have touched the Atma, real self, you have got back into it. And that, going back to that source where it came from, and touching that source where everything has originated, that's called a nyasam, samyak nyasam. And it is this nyasam which you will see spoken in the Sri Rudram first. You know the famous prayers in the Sri Rudram. Sri Rudram is a famous prayer in the Vedam. It is spoken about that in the fourth canto, when Krishna talks about that. When Sri Shukha Brahmarshi mentions about Sri Rudram there. Rudram, Chamakam, they are all from the Vedam, glorifying Shiva. So, and that is in the Bhagavadam, right? So, when they recite this Sri Rudram in front of Lord Shiva, they are talking about Lord Shiva. Today Shivaratri also happened to be. That they are talking about Lord Shiva, that through this Nyasam, how they go and touch Shiva inside. Again, Shiva doesn't refer to that form what we are talking about. It is the Andaryami inside. So Vaishnavas will say Andaryami is Krishna. Shaivites will say Andaryami is Shiva. The form you can call whatever you want, the names you can call them, but the Andaryami is what they are referring to. The Andaryami, right? Aham Asmi. And then Andaryami, you are offering everything to him through Sri Rudram. And that is the homam, the Aham Asmi. It's the last homam, right? In other words, I am offering my Ahangaram, which is the last offering in that fire or in the homam. And in that Jyotis, what Krishna is calling here as the Jyotisham Abhida Jyoti. It is in that Jyoti you are making that offering. What is in the Vedam? Sri Rudram, Chamakam, everything, right? This Andaryami is called as a fire inside. Why? It is normally in the fire that you make the offering, is it not? Homam is performed in the fire. Similarly, in this Andaryami inside, you are offering all your senses, mind, intelligence, everything. It goes back into the source where it came from. Right. So, saying that, Krishna says here that that is the fire, and then if it is done, Krishna says, you become free. Jnanam yayam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtitam. So, that homam, what is performed there, and if it is done, Krishna says, Jnana Agni Sarva Karmanam Basma Sad Kurite Arjuna. All karmam goes away. All impurities goes away. You become purified. And that state where in the bodham, where you finally offer your mind, body, everything, and including your personality, Vyaktitvam, everything goes away. And that is that verse is talking about. Then Krishna says after that, Idi kshetram tadajnanam nyayam yokchoktam samasataha malbhaktam edadvijnaya madbhava yopabadhyate. Idi kshetram tadajnanam nyayam choktam samasataha malbhakta edavijnaya madbhava yopabadhyate. In Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, I have spoken to you about the kshetram and about the knowledge, jnanam. And about the aim, what is to be known, when my devotee understands that, he comes back to me, he says. He comes back to me. Evam kshetram mahabodhadi drityandam tada jnanam amanityadi tatjnanartha darshanavaryandam jnayam jat jnayam yattat ityadi tamasa paramuchyade ityevamandam uktam samasada samkshepataha.
So those things, Krishna says that one who is present in everyone's heart as Antaryami, and then he says, whatever that has been spoken up to now, beginning from that verse, what he began with, sarvada pani padam dal. This is another topic he has discussed. From verse 13 onwards, right up to 17. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. These five verses, Krishna has spoken about the Antaryami. Sarvada pani padam dal, sarvadokshi shiromukham, sarvada shudimal loge, sarvam avurtya drishtadi. And then he said, sarvada sarvendriya gunabhasam, sarvendriya vivarjitam, asaktam sarvabhutcheva, nirgunam gunavoktracha. And then bahirandascha bhudanam, ajaran charamevaja, sushmatvata davijnayam, durastam chandigenchatat, avibhaktam cha bhudeshu, vibhaktam eva sastitam, bhudabhartatatnyayam, grasishnu prabhavishnucha. Jyotisham avidat jyoti tamasa paramuchyate jnanam eyam jnanagamyam kriti sarvasya vishtitam. These verses, Krishna says, idi kshetram tada jnanam eyam choktam samasada. I have talked to you about the kshetram first, and then I have talked to you about the kshetrajna after that. So these verses are all about kshetrajna. Before that, everything was about kshetram. Kshetram was easy to understand. Kshetrajnam is very difficult to understand. Isn't it? If you look at this chapter, kshetram was not difficult, because Krishna says what kshetram involves: the senses, the body, the mind, ego, and intelligence, everything, how that's all packaged together is the kshetram. But kshetrajna is most subtle thing inside. Yeah. So after saying that, he says, and he is present in everybody, Krishna says. So when you study this body without taking into account the kshetrajna, if you only study kshetram, what kind of study is that? What kind of study is that? If you see, Krishna says, this kshetram, kshetrajna, together you have to study. You can't study only kshetram. Kshetram is not separate from kshetrajna. Kshetrajna is there, therefore it is kshetram. If kshetrajna is not there, this kshetram, why do you study about that? What good are you going to get from that? That is Krishna's point. We take only kshetram and we start analyzing kshetram. That too, not all the kshetram. Only the gross things what you see. Whereas Krishna's study of this body is completely different. He takes into account kshetram and kshetrajna both, and he considers this whole thing as one together. And then he is saying here that kshetram is easy to understand, kshetrajna is difficult to understand, and therefore Antaryami is the kshetrajna, right? And Antaryami, Krishna has explained in five verses what Antaryami is, right? And he says that all this I have spoken not thinking that you will understand it, says. And I have not said this thinking that you will understand it, he says, about the Antaryami, right? So, all we have to do, who are hearing these verses, what we have to do is that everything what you are hearing also now, whatever you are hearing, Antaryami is hearing from inside. Yeah? Antaryami is hearing from inside, right? And some people, what they do say is that when they hear these five verses, he says, it's not, I'm not able to connect with it, they say. I can't get to understand it, what you are saying, he says. So then they record it, and then they rehear it again, and then also they can't understand it after recording it and hearing it again, right? So this is not a subject like that. This is a subject you have to have faith first, what the rishis are saying.
that surrender to the Rishi, surrender to Krishna first, and then this will be more accessible, this knowledge, right? So, you know, in the olden days, they used to have this Walkman. You remember Walkman, right? So, Andaryami is not Walkman. Andaryami is Walk God. Andaryami is Walking God, right? Andaryami means super soul, as we call that, super soul, right? Mind, intelligence, these all things you don't require, is not to be something that has to be captured by the mind. First thing you have to know that. Andaryami you will never be able to understand. That's the problem with Andaryami. Because mind is not capable of understanding the Andaryami. That's the first thing to know, right? Andaryami, if you have to know, your Andaryami has to capture it. And Andaryami has to reveal to you. That's when you will know. Otherwise, you will never know. If you whole life, you can use your mind and intelligence, it won't work. It won't work. This is where science fails, right? So if you have gone through the science process, modern science process, you will find that you are stuck here. Because mind and intelligence is not capable of getting to know Andaryami. This is the first thing to know. If you think that mind and intelligence is capable, you are mistaken completely. That is why Krishna is saying this, right? So it has to come from Andaryami to Andaryami. From one Andaryami to another Andaryami it has to come. Transmission is between Andaryamis, not from the mind to mind. That's the important thing, right? Whether you are intelligent or you have a good mind, all that is not important here in this, right? Even Arjuna, he heard Bhagavad Gita and he has forgotten everything, right? And then he heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna and then he has forgotten all that. You remember that? In the first canto. And then what happened? When Krishna left this world, he started crying. And he started saying, Krishna has told me a lot of things in Kurukshetram during the war. I have forgotten everything, he's saying. And he is crying there at that time about that. In the first canto, you will see at 13th or 14th chapter, when Arjuna comes back from Dwarka, he is saying, Gitam Bhagavata Shastram, Bhagavad Gita Shastram, I am not able to think about it. That is when he is revisiting Bhagavad Gita, what he heard, right? So at that time, 15th chapter, 30th verse, he is saying that. So in his mind, Manomandalam, in the platform of the mind, right, Arjuna didn't have anything to do with Bhagavad Gita. When he heard Bhagavad Gita, he is hearing from Krishna as Andaryami, speaking to Andaryami inside Arjuna. That is how the transmission happened, right? So then, as soon as Krishna's form disappeared from this world, from somewhere that Krishna, Bhagavad Gita which was inside, it came about outside, right? So from that you have to understand, from that incident, what happened with Arjuna, you have to know this, that neither your mind nor your intelligence is responsible for getting to know Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's position is like that. You know, if you try to bring something which is not totally spiritual into the mundane level, it won't work. It simply won't work. From a mundane level, you can't study Bhagavad Gita. Any amount of time, you can memorize all the verses and all that. You can preach to others. But when it comes to realization, you will have nothing left from that. So if it has to have any effect inside, Krishna is saying this, that you got to go beyond the mind and the senses and the buddhi, right? So therefore, Arjuna's is best example that he heard Bhagavad Gita in Kurukshetram and then throughout life Krishna was there, but when Krishna disappeared, he started thinking, what did Krishna tell me in Kurukshetram? He was crying that time to get to, because he has lost everything. Krishna has gone now. So then somewhere from inside, Antaryami brings it back to him. If you look at those verses, you will find it there. I don't have the Bhagavatam with me, but it is there. You have to study two or three verses where Arjuna gets back this knowledge or this realization what Krishna has given to him in Kurukshetram, coming back again, second time to him, right? So from that you can understand, Antaryami inside you, if he captures it and if he gives it to you, you can have that. Otherwise he won't, right? So that is why that verse is important. Idi kshetram tatha jnanam jnayam choktam samasada malbhakta edad vijnaya madbhava yopapadyate. Through that verse, Krishna concludes that topic there. We'll have to begin with the next topic next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.